Let's all give a warm welcome again for $500,000 ring earner, Mrs. Kim Millian!
So good. Got my stool. I like to be able to get off these heels. They look pretty, but they're not. Okay. So, feeling groovy with this on. How many people were in Maui? Did you come to my yoga class?
I saw it.
It was the first time I had this on. I felt like really cool. I was like rocking out. Anyways, I'm a yoga instructor part-time, not because I have to, because I love yoga, and not because it pays good, because it doesn't. But I do that because I can. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about my story. I've been doing my story a little bit more in detail for the time that I've been on the executive advisory board. And I tell it in a little bit more detail than I have before because I really want you guys to know that I didn't just arrive here as an executive advisory board, platinum, $500,000 ringer, and have nothing go on in my life still today. Because I think what some people think, as a matter of fact, one of the questions that we had at the Q&A last night was, you know, just like how you recruit and how that process goes for you at your level and different things like that. And there really isn't much difference. It sometimes it actually is not an advantage to be making all the money because it can be intimidating to your prospects. Does that make sense? Everybody's like, I don't really care. I'd rather have the money, right? Don't feel sorry for me at all. I got that. Okay, so here I'll tell you a little bit more detail about my story. So let's back up from graduating. I grew up in a household with a father who was, my biological father was very abusive mentally and physically. Unfortunately, he did a lot of abuse on my brother John. I have two brothers, two older brothers, and my mom, thank goodness, left him when I was 3 years old. And then I met my real dad, who I call my real father. So they were together for about 10 years till I was 13. And then they split up. So I come from one of those families that are split up, together, split up, together. Anybody else relate to me? It's just becoming more of it out there. But so with that being said, went from that. So at 13 years old, moved in with my mother and my brother, I lived in Toronto, moved back to British Columbia with my mom, and my dad and my other brother stayed in Toronto. If you don't know geography, that's about 3,000 miles away. It's like the other side of Canada. So I was pretty upset. I was 13 years old, pretty rebellious at the time. And my brother came to visit. My big brother came to visit. And my mom had just had back surgery. So she was laid out, couldn't work for a couple months. What happened to me and my brother, who I call, you'll get to know their names. So John is my cheerleader brother, and Bob is my reason why brother. Okay? They're both older. So my mom unfortunately couldn't work, and I was 13, and my brother John was 15, my cheerleader brother, and we weren't working at the time. We were going to school, and so we ended up being on welfare and food stamps. And I say that because I grew in that, obviously, it happened for about probably 6 months to 9 months. But I say this because sometimes we're letting our past equal our future rather than letting our past not equal the future or be the reason why we succeed in the future. Okay? And there's lots of us. And whether you've had a bad past or not, it's not like I had a horrible past, but there was ups and downs. We went from being lower class to middle class to lower class to middle class to lower class to middle class. This is the bottom of the barrel for me. My brother Bob came to visit, my reason why, and he said he was hungry. And I said, okay, well, great. We have to go get the food stamps. And I was, like, excited about it because I was used to it by then. I was like, okay, I got to go get the food stamps, and then I'll go to the welfare, and then I'll get our money, and then I'll go and get food. And he's like, excuse me? Like, that's what you guys have come to? Like, he's almighty. And I said, yeah, that's just what we're doing right now. And he said, well, you go get the food because you're the one that looks like welfare. Yeah. And I don't know if anybody told you if that resonates with you at all, but wow. I said a few choice words to my brother, and he said a few choice words to me. And I'll never forget that day. I'll never forget the feeling he made me feel. Nobody at welfare made me feel that way. Nobody at the food stamp place made me feel that way. He made me feel that way. My own flesh and blood made me feel like I was a complete loser. I didn't ask for this. I didn't want to look like somebody on welfare. whatever that looks like. I guess it looks like me. So I said, fine, I'll go and do it. So I did. Got the food. Of course, he ate it happily. And so I just say that because I just that's just one of the things I've always remembered. I've always remembered of my past, of my mother who went through all those struggles and brought me to the world, to this new gentleman who I call my father today. But unfortunately, it didn't work out with them. So I was always grateful, but I always knew that that would never happen again. I would never feel that low. I would never want to ever be that low, and I would never want my family ever to be in that situation again. Fast forward. Get into Legal Shield. Well, those 9 months that I worked in Legal Shield, I worked for free when Canada opened. I kind of mentioned that at the beginning. So I had been in the network marketing industry for a year and a half at a company called the People's Network. The People's Network was my network marketing degree. I didn't make any money. I made about $300 my first year and spent probably close to, $8,000 to $10,000. Now, that's not something that you have to spend or do in Legal Shield. It's just the company I was with, the auto ship program I was on, was about $200 a month U.S., and it was Canadian dollars. I spent about $300 a month on crap, and that was a little joke. You guys didn't catch it, but it was just a bunch of stuff I had to buy monthly. And I wasn't making any money because it wasn't a really good. There wasn't any really good services that we were giving there. Okay, but it was the true base of the company was personal development on satellite television, and I got this channel. As a matter of fact, it was my sponsor who got the channel, Rob McKenzie, who's the RVP of Ontario, my sponsor. I would go over to his house and watch this channel all the time, and all it was personal development. I'd never heard of personal development. I had never had a philosophy. I couldn't even spell philosophy. I'd never heard that, hey, I could be my own boss. I could be somebody. I didn't have to have that education. I didn't have to have that. I just needed to have a burning desire, a willingness to work, and to be coachable. Those three things. I didn't know these things. So I believe that that was my degree in college, but in network marketing. Does that make sense? So then I heard about Legal Shield. I went to a big convention, brought five people with me to my first convention, and it turned into Legal Shield. The company that I was with, the People's Network, went under, and basically they were saying, hey, if you want to come up to this, if you want to be in Legal Shield, you can come to Legal Shield. It's up to you. But here's the problem for you Canadians. We're not open. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a good story. So now my reason why, brother, obviously, was barking. You guys get that? He keeps on barking. But my other brother, John, the cheerleader, was always cheering me on. Through those year and a half, I did really crappy. Didn't do much, didn't make a lot of money. He was always cheering me on, saying, you can do it, I believe in you. And my other brother, Bob, the reason why, was making fun of me the whole time. And so in the 9 months, I moved back in with my mom. I had graduated high school when I was 17, moved out on my own, been on my own completely ever since. And then I moved back in with my mom when I'm 25. Get rid of my car. Drive my mom's car, which was a two-tone car, not meant to be two-tone, rust on the bottom. It was Canada, so I know what winter's like, and I had to reach outside to open my door and the passenger door, so whenever I'd pick up somebody from a speaker for the meeting, it was real fun, from the airport, I'd be like, oh, hold on, let me open your door. Runner have to open the door because they couldn't open their door. There was a smell that was coming from my car. Gosh, I have no idea what it was, but I'd say, don't worry, we'll get there, and it smelled really bad. Anybody have cars that smell? You have no idea what's going on. Just drive me there, get me there, please. So my brother would just make fun of me because those 9 months, you guys, I didn't know that we weren't going to be open up for 9 months. I thought it was a week, 2 weeks, a month, another month. It was the government, and it was just things that we had to do. So my brother would say, oh, so when is this legal company coming and making fun of me, and oh, now she lives with you, and now she's driving your car, and she's probably not paying rent. And guys, my brother Bob, my reason why Bob, did not do those things because he was rude and he hated me. He did those things because I challenged him to look in the mirror at who he was, and I was becoming somebody different, but I was going through more challenges than him at the time. It's reversed now. He's going through more financial challenges now than I will ever go through. Okay? So I don't say it to knock him, but I say it because some of you are letting somebody, something that happened in your past, hold you from believing or thinking or doing great in a company and in this company. And so fast forward, my brother John was always my cheerleader brother, and he was cheering me on. So those 9 months go by, and I didn't even know it, but my brother's one of his favorite cars was a Lexus. I had no idea. So my goal was when we opened up, I would buy a car, and I would buy the car for my mom and I, but it was really hers. I would give it to her, and then when I could afford my own car, I'd get my own car just to thank her. So I get $5,500 my first month.
I made $5,500, made executive director when Canada opened, made it in the first week that we were open. I had to go and collect all the paperwork, and it was a fun time. And it was $5,500, I remember. I said, Mom, I'm going to go buy that car. I bought a used Lexus, went and bought a used Lexus, and knew that it was one of my brother's favorite cars after I bought it, and so I decided to drive it up to his house, not tell him I was going over there with my mom, drive up to his house and honk on the horn really loud because I knew he was in the house and he was trying to figure out who was outside. And then he saw me and my Lexus, and that was fun. So that was one little payoff to my brother. Not a big one, but that was a little payoff. And I had said to him, you know, we're going to become millionaires in this family. I'm going to change the legacy of the family. He laughed at me. And he knew that I was starting to make more money in Legal Shield and starting to see that I was being a little bit more successful. And it wasn't like he wasn't supportive. But now at this time, he was becoming a little bit resentful. You know, now it goes from, she can't do this, like, oh, wow. Because I was getting flown all over the place, and she made $5,500. I mean, I bragged about that to him, trust me. And so then my brother John, unfortunately, he's been my charity case, my charity brother. I don't know if you have one of those or you know some of those people, but he's somebody who's never really changed his ways. Unfortunately, he was beaten the most from my father, so received, got the most of challenges in his life, right? But he got into a car accident over 8 years ago as well and had a brain injury. And so he lost his job. He lost his wife. He lost access to visiting his child. And he pretty much has not much of a life at all. He has seizures. He has blackouts. He has to have supervised visits with his daughter. And I say that because he's just somebody I've always been able to financially support. And that is a blessing. And somebody who's cheered me on all those years that I didn't look like I was doing anything, I wasn't making any money, he came along and always cheered me on. So I have always an open heart to anybody, but especially for somebody who's helped me through all those hard times. And he's one of those brothers I give money to. And unfortunately, sometimes I give some money and then I have to hold back sometimes because you never know where it's going. But it constantly is one of those things. I was able to put food on the table when he needed it, get the baby diapers when she needed it, and do those types of things. And I say that because I want you to know that today that still happens today to a platinum. Today, those things and life still happens to us. And my brother Bob, well, I went from the Lexus to a Jag, which was his second favorite car, and drove that up there after I bought a Jag. So I had a Lexus for my mom, a Jag for me. That was fun. So honk, honk, right? And then all the Christmas presents. So I would go out and as I lived in, the States, I would give his kids presents for Christmas, and I would buy them extravagant gifts. Like gifts, like big time gifts, like he could never afford it. That was the whole point. Like I had to get him gifts that he couldn't afford to get them. And I would give my brother just a regular gift, and it was kind of funny. So I just got him back. So I'm just saying that whatever's holding you back or whoever it is, you can get them back, first of all. But he is simply one of the biggest reasons for my success. And my brother John, my cheerleader brother, is also one of the biggest reasons because this is why I continue to do this business. I continue to do this business because my mom has MS and I don't want her to have a daughter who has to be a nurse. I want to be able to provide my mom with a nurse if she ever needs one. And I want to still be her daughter. My father has a quadruple bypass a couple of years ago. Unfortunately, he doesn't have a retirement plan anymore, can't work, and is working really, really crappy jobs just to make ends meet. So I want to be able to retire with my father. Then I want to be able to help my brother. You get this all? And then I'm out there and I'm going to show you guys a video of the Orphan's Hope project that I've been working with for 2 years now. We're building a girls' orphanage in Guatemala, and we've been able to hang out at the boys' orphanage right beside it. I've been there 6 times. I'm going on my 7th visit in 2 weeks. And I, again, that's one of my reasons why I do this business, because I have the time freedom. I don't have to ask somebody if I can go to work, or if I can take off work to go to Guatemala to help kids in Guatemala. I don't have to ask or check my bank account to make sure I have the money to go and to be able to do those things. So those are my reasons why. And I want you guys to really understand that the reasons why you do this business is what's going to help you succeed in it, but it can be your vehicle to do the things you want. So I'm a yoga teacher because I can, right? I can do those things. Dave can go out hunting whenever he wants because he loves it, and he can do that. It's a big deal. Whatever it is that you want to do, what are your reasons why you want to do this business? Now, you may want to do this business because I need a paycheck, I need a job, I need an opportunity, whatever it is. That was my reason why. I needed an opportunity. I needed a plan A. I didn't even have a plan A, right? So I don't know what it is for you, but even if it's a plan B, even if it's your multiple streams of income or whatever it is, think of what you really want to do, what you wanted to do as a young child or as a teenager or in your early 20s or 30s, you can still accomplish some of those things. Do you want to pick up that guitar again? Do you want to go, you know, and travel the nation? Do you want to travel the world? Do you want to take your kids on a holiday? Do you want to have a new address? Do you want to have a new car? I mean, these are different things. It's not just about marketing a membership. It's a bigger picture. Do you guys get that? It's I wake up in the morning and I think about my family. I think about the kids in Guatemala. I always knew I wanted to be part of a mission of doing something, but I never felt at the right place at the right time with the right folks to do it. And I just kept on persevering. I didn't know that we'd be building an orphanage 14 years later. So what happens is as you go on in this business and as you persevere and you're consistent and consistent, you're going to have much more things to look forward to or things that unveil that are just ultimately amazing to you. Does that make sense to everybody? So I want you to think bigger. I want you to go into your heart. That's where I'm trying to get you guys right now. It's not just in your mind. I'm thinking about what's in your heart. What's going to change in your life? What's money going to give you? What is it going to bring to you? What are the material things? But what's the spiritual things? What is the family things that it really can give you? And I thank my brother Bob. I thank my reason why brother Bob. And I say all these, you know, vindictive and kind of resentful things towards him, but we have fun with it. But here's what his kids see. His kids see that they see where I was and where I am now, and they're in their early 20s and 17. And his youngest said, I was showing him, I was bragging again. It was a couple years ago. It was great. I was bragging, so I went on to show my commissions to him. Because now, like, two of the kids are old enough to be recruited, so that's why I was doing it. So I was, it's great when your nieces and nephews get to be 18. It's like, here, let me show you something your dad hasn't told you about, right? Because they don't, what did Andy Kim do, right? So I go, Daniel, come here, look at this, right? And I show him my commissions. And the commissions that month were like $40,000. And Daniel says, Dad, come and check this out. Auntie Kim makes more than you make an entire year. I wish I had it tape recorded. It was fun. And of course, Bob's just like, whatever. You know, he still thinks, who knows what my brother thinks I'm in. He still doesn't understand it. So I just say that because I know there's somebody holding you something, getting to you, and I want you guys to erase that. I want you guys to really live here. I want you guys to realize there's a bigger picture than just marking a membership and moving up in the ranks. There's a bigger and a much more fruitful end of the picture for you, or beginning of it for you, okay? And so I'm going to talk about some contacting, inviting stuff. I'm not going to put it up on the screen, and the reason why, because what happens is you guys look at the screen and you write, and you don't look at me and listen to it. So I'll do the visual later, okay? But and also Dave Hall has this, so you could post it on your Facebook page or whatever if you wanted to. But I really want you guys just to focus in with me and let's just talk about contacting and inviting. I'm a team builder. I'm not a massive about marketing memberships or even recruiting a lot of people. That doesn't mean I don't want to be a top recruiter or top producer. I just have never been, okay? But these are things, these are 11 rules to contacting and inviting. I'm going to go through pretty quickly. And then we're going to go through some leadership tips I'm going to give you as well. So kind of doing more of like the recruiting, contacting, inviting, and these are really more about team building. Okay, you can use some of it in memberships and stuff, but I'm really what we're good at is building culture and building a team. Okay, so the first thing you want to do is obviously get good at contacting, inviting, right? So you want to have first a list of names. So how many people have a list right now? You don't have to have it with you, but how many people have a list of people that you are on your list of 20 or more? Okay, awesome. So I'm not going to make you guys do your list then today, because obviously you've got great leadership that does that. But what I would normally do right now takes 3 minutes for you to do a memory jogger. I'm not going to do that because 80% of this room had more than 20 people. My point is we got to have a list to talk to. So this is your setup before you're even contacting and inviting. Set how long that you are going to be able to do those calls. So, hey, I can do Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, and I can do an hour. And I'm going to do it from 7 to 8. Or I'm going to do it on my lunch hour, or whatever. You work different shifts. Does that make sense? Just set that time apart. Simple things that people just don't do these things. Okay, you got to set a time. And then you have to have something that you're inviting to. You know, like you get on the phone and you're like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Are you inviting to a private business reception, a private conference call, a meeting, a luncheon, a breakfast, you know, anything. You've got to know what you're inviting them to. And then you've got to get away from all of the distractions. Your kids, your animals, your spouse, anything. So you lock yourself in the room, or you get yourself out of the house, and you make phone calls in your car, in the garage, or wherever you have to go, okay? Whatever you need to do that hour or 2 hours or whatever you set a time for yourself. Because the truth is, if you just spent 30 minutes prospecting and picking up the phone, do you agree with this, Dave? If they spent 30 minutes on the phone a day, you would definitely be making performance club. I'll trust me on that one. There'll be a lot more. But if you could just take a little bit of time each day or a couple times a week to literally just contact and invite, and when a call comes in, you don't answer it. Because this is your time to make outgoing phone calls. You don't answer incoming. You answer those incoming after you finish what you're supposed to do. Okay? It's really important. Because those are distractions. Because even if the person that you just called, I would still move on to the next person and call that person maybe back after that phone call. Okay, but you're not going to take incoming phone calls and all that kind of stuff. So, number one, person asking the questions is in charge. I said this last night, and so here's the thing. If you want to take control of the conversation, the first thing that you're going to do is you're going to always ask them, do you have time to talk? Is this an okay time for you? Do you have a minute? Really simple. Do you have a minute to talk? Hey, how's it going? Do you have a minute to talk? If they don't have a minute to talk, do you know how many people talk? Oh, I just want to check in and see if you saw that DVD. They just told you they have no time. Don't talk to them now. What if they're in the middle of something, you know, at work, at home, I mean, in their car, anything. If they say they don't have time, say, great, when's the best time I can get hold of you? And they'll tell you. And then ask permission to ask. Ask permission. Is it okay if I ask a few questions of you, Dave? And he's going to say, okay, sure. So always the person asking the questions. Do you ever know that sometimes it feels like, you know, when you're prospecting and they, well, what's Legal Shield all about? How does that work? And what are the law firms like? And you're just feeling like you're like taking bullets, bam, 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 and you kind of know that it's not really going like the way you want it to, because they're almost saying that these things are not good. And you're just having to defend, and you're almost like a defensive mode. That's not a good conversation. You want to be in charge of the conversation. So when they ask you a question, you ask them a question. Now, that doesn't mean you don't answer their question. You know, Legal Shield, what is Legal Shield? Well, here's the best thing that I can ask you to do. You know, hey, Mark, the best thing I could ask you to do is review that link that I send you. Did you have a chance to review it?
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, some of those questions in there, let me ask you another question. We're probably answered, but what did you like best about what you saw? That is one of the best questions to ask. I learned this earlier on. I thought it was kind of corny, so I didn't ask it at the very beginning. But then I started asking that question, what did you like best? Not what did you think, because they'll tell you what they thought, right? This is a different question. So what did you like best? So I'm just constantly, do you see how that was, though? So Kim, tell me more about Legal Shield. I did watch the link, but I don't really understand this part. Okay, well, tell me what you like best. And then we'll get into that conversation, and we'll go from there. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay? It's a really, really easy thing to lose, but it's an easy thing to just constantly remind yourself. Two, be yourself. Don't be somebody. Okay. Kim gets involved in Legal Shield. She gets a script. Dave Hall gives her a script. And here I am. I'm going to call Mark. Mark's my brother. Get to my desk. Hi, Mark. How are you? Good. This is Kim. I'm with a company now called Legal Shield. How are you? Well, I mean, now I'm being really exact, but I'm telling you, like, people read this script and they're talking to their brother. It's like, guys, if I call my brother dude, I'll be like, hey, dude, what's up? If I'm talking to my boss, I'll say, hey, Mr. Udy, how are you? It's Camelia. You know what I'm saying? You talk the way you talk to people, but you're still yourself. I'm not saying don't have a script. I'm saying, if you need a script, read the script and try to remember the script as best as possible and practice in front of your dog and your spouse and your window and your mirrors and all that kind of stuff. Because eventually what I like to have is bullet points. Rather than having a script, I'm not saying, like, I did have one kind of here, but I always have my bullet points here because I don't want you guys to sound fake. I don't want you to sound like a salesperson. If you're a salesperson, they're gonna treat you like a salesperson. And your brother's gonna be like, what is going on? Can you sound weird? You know, that just sounds strange. Why are you so professional now, you know? Because everybody thinks, oh, if I'm in Legal Shield, I have to have a legal background and I'm really professional and I sell like, you know, I'm so good. No, just be yourself. I'm new. Hey, it's okay. I don't have the answer to that question. Let me get the person on the phone to get the answer to that question. I'll get you that answer to that question as soon as possible. It's okay if we don't know everything. We want to learn and earn. That's the best thing about it. I didn't even know the difference between the $26 plan and the $35 plan for about 4 years. I thought it was if you were single, you had the 26, and if you were family, you had the 35. Kind of still makes sense to me. Anyways, I did. I know you said, but I made $5,500 my first month, and I continued to do that, and I didn't know all that, right? So if you act like a salesperson, you're going to get treated like one. Just be comfortable. Be yourself. I know it's nerve-wracking to pick up the phone and stuff like that. I'm not saying all that's not, but just have a script that you look at, okay, and then try to get it to outline in points instead. Is that fair? We were talking about that earlier. Is that fair? Is that helping answer that question? Okay. Don't say anything until you can say everything. What does that mean? It means don't say anything. That doesn't mean don't say legal shield. Okay? Have a 60-second commercial, 30-second commercial. If you go to networking events, you get up. They give you 30 to 60 seconds to stand up and say what you do. Right? So, I don't want to say really anything until they see everything. Sally, I don't want you to make a decision until you see all the information. If you don't see all this information, and you can't make your own adult decision. Does that make sense to everybody? And so, you know, always ask the person, you know, when you're on the call, always ask them if they have a few minutes, like I said. And get off and on the phone as fast as possible. What if the person sounds really excited and they're like, tell me more. You mean they're excited. Oh, I have a legal issue. My brother does. And then you start getting excited and you want to tell them, oh, and we have this and we have this. Oh, yeah, we cover that. Oh, yeah, bam, bam, bam. You're on the phone for 15, 20 minutes. Guys, that is not duplicatable. Whatever you do duplicates. Okay? That person, even if Mark likes the membership and he's my brother and he says it's great, he's going to realize that we've been on the phone for 20 to 25 minutes and he's a busy guy and he can give his time to his sister like that, but he can't give the time to all the customers. What I would say to that is when Mike and Steve, they're brothers, when they first joined the business together, Mike understood the concept of getting off and on the phone within about a minute to 5 minutes, depending on your conversation. Should really be about 3 minutes that you get off and on the phone. These are prospecting phone calls. He heard Steve talking on the phone for like 5 minutes and 10 minutes, and if you know the two, like, they scream and yell at each other sometimes, and Mike's like, get off the phone, what are you doing? You know, and Steve's like, you know, leave me alone. Like, I'm building relationships here, you know? I'm doing it my way. And the problem is that it's not like you want to be rude. And if you haven't talked to somebody in 2 or 3 years, you can still say, hey, Dave, listen, it's Kim Melia. Have a second. Wow, listen, I know we haven't talked in 2 years. And, you know, I mean, the last time that we even saw each other, I want to catch up with you. But I only have a few minutes now. And the purpose of my call today is, bam, I thought about you when I first heard about this company. I'm super excited about it. I have no idea if you'd be interested, but I know you know a lot of people. You have a big circle of influence, and if you wouldn't mind helping and supporting me, I'd love for you to look at this link I'm about to send you. Would you mind? Help and support. That's my script. Help, support. Because I've helped him do garage sales. I've helped him move. I've taken care of his kids. I've gone hunting with him. I'm just kidding. I haven't yet. But but you know what I mean? Like, you've helped and supported so many other people. Why wouldn't they do the same thing to you? Right? Just to look at it. Use their hot buttons. So what's a hot button? I know that, you know, let's say Dave wants to, you know, I know he likes to hunt. So I know that one of his hot buttons is he would love to hunt as much as possible. Is there a hunting season?
It's always hunting season.
Okay. There's Hunter. Okay. So there's his hot button. I know that he loves to hunt, and I know that he's working this job. He hates his job. So I'm going to say to him, look, hey, Dave, do you have a minute? Okay, great. Listen, I think I found a way where you can hunt all year round, all day long, all night long. Right? Yeah. Like, but because I know him, I'm acting like my... Does that make sense, everybody? I can talk to him like that because we have that relationship. I know his hot buttons. I know Mark's hot buttons and Leslie, they love to vacation, right? I don't really know that, but that's where we hang out. We hang out on our Legal Shield vacations together. So know their hot buttons. Do they want to go on a vacation? Do they want to leave their job? Or is it somebody that you've always wanted to be rich with? Is it somebody who just understands business and they understand wealth building principles? Does that make sense to everybody? So use their hot buttons, whatever that might be. So what's in it for them? Not for you, what's in it for them? Are you still looking for a way to send your kids to college? Ask them more questions. And the thing is that people will do business with people who they know, like, and trust. Okay? So these, what I'm going through right now has been a lot of warm market, but can be cold market as well. I like turning a cold market into a warm market really fast. Networking events is something that I constantly do, and it's easy to do that when you're asking questions and probing questions. As a matter of fact, I was on a plane a lot. I don't know what it was. I was on a plane one time. I was talking to a guy beside me, and I spent probably 2 hours there just asking him questions after questions. And usually when you say to them, so what do you do for a living? Usually, eventually, after 5-10 minutes, they might come back to you and say, what do you do? Well, this guy never asked me. For 2 hours, I just kept on asking him questions. It was a good conversation, but there was never any questions back to me. By the end of the conversation, he said to me, man, you are a fantastic woman. I've never met anybody like you. I'm thinking, you have no idea even who I am. You haven't even asked me how I am, you know. You haven't asked me my name. I said, oh, by the way, my name is Kim. And it's just because I made him feel good because I was asking him more questions about him and getting to know them. Does that make sense? Because most people tell you about them, not about asking more questions and just making them feel comfortable. To create a sense of urgency. So the reason why I'm calling you today is, right, there's nothing wrong with that. Leslie, I thought of you. Listen, I know I haven't seen you in 5 years. I just reconnected with you on Facebook. Thank goodness your phone number was there. Do you have a second to talk?
Sure.
Listen, I'd love to catch up. I really only have a minute myself, and maybe we can catch up for coffee or something later. But the reason why I'm calling you today is about a company called Legal Shield. I don't know if you've heard about it or not, but I know that you are just a special person that really could help and support me in this. And I don't know, you know, how this could work out for both of us and how I could, you know, obviously help you in anything that you do. But would you mind taking a look at a link that I'm going to send you via Facebook? I mean, I'm just making up right now because I talk like this all the time. And every person, that's why I don't use a script, because every person is different. I have a different relationship with you, and you. Make sense to everybody? There's not one script that's going to use it for everybody. There's bullet points that's going to be good for everybody. So the urgency is in your voice. You can even hear it in my voice. I'm not even really talking about much. It's in my voice because people will listen to how you say things, sometimes more than what you're saying. Trust me. Because they like, you know, even though he heard the urgency. He understood, you know, it almost scared him to go like, well, she's going to pass me. I mean, she's gonna do really good. He heard the urgency that I want to be successful, right? And be aware that when I say urgency, don't tell somebody that you have weekly meetings. Oh, you can come to next week and you can come the week after and, you know, oh, there'll be another person the week after. There's only one meeting and the meeting is this week. This is the only time Camelia is going to be here. This is the time that you need to be here. Promote for the presenter sometimes more than you actually promote for the opportunity. Their story, their testimony, their success. People love to meet successful, nice people. Okay? How many people are toe dippers when you, like, try out a pool? You're like, ooh, is it cold? I'm not sure. I'm not really like that. I just know. I'm like, oh, just jump right in. And that's what I did with Legal Shield. I just jumped right in. I'm asking you not to be a toe dipper here because building this business is painful if you do it slowly. Building it with momentum, obviously, and building it faster is much more exciting. Okay? When you're a toe dipper, it's not that much fun, is it? Because it doesn't get much warmer without water. You end up getting right in. Use a fear of loss. So we convince, not sort, because if we convince a person against their will, they're of the same opinion still. Right? We don't want to do that. So Mike, when he first got started, he got started in the industry of direct, network marketing through the People's Network in December. And it was about December 15th. And every person that he was calling was saying, get back to me after January 1st. Get back to me after January 1st. Get back to me after Christmas. Get back to me after the holidays. Get back to me, you know. And so when he called Steve up, he said, man, I'm having a hard time. And, you know, he's like, well, maybe it's true. Maybe, you know, why don't we just get started in January? And if you know Mike said a few choice words and said to Steve, I thought you were going to be my New York guy. I guess I'll find another. What do you think Steve, actually Mike hung up the phone. What do you think Steve did in about 2 seconds? Picked it up. Okay, I'm in. I'm sorry. I mean, like, listen, guy, we'll get started right now. I'm getting started right now. He created that fear of loss in him. And whatever that is for you, and that doesn't mean you have that same story, but you can use that as an example for some people. I do that if I have somebody who I'm recruiting. So say I'm recruiting Mark, but you're already in. Mark says, okay, I'm in. And then Dave, I've been trying to process. I say, listen, Dave, I know you're making your decision. I've already got somebody who's signed the paperwork. If you come in right now, I'll be able to put Mark on your team. That's a sense of urgency. Or I do it reverse, whichever way it was, right? A sense of urgency, a fear of loss, right? It just helps. These little tiny things just help. So just know that, it's the attitude, at least I took with a lot of my closer friends, that I'm going to the top with or without you. And when I got started, guys, I was 23 in the industry, 25 with Legal Shield, and I got made fun of a lot of people. What do you know? What do you know about the legal industry? What do you know about sales? What do you know about network marketing? You look at your age, da-da-da. And I got so mad at it, and I just was like, this is holding me back. But then I just had the attitude of, I'm going to the top. Come with me or not. I've got a gift. I found out something young in age, and I'm blessed because of it. If you don't want to believe me, here, read this. Show them a profile. Here, you know what I mean? I always third-party myself. So number 7 is have enthusiasm. The last 4 words of enthusiasm is ISAM. I am sold myself. So in other words, that you sold yourself on the company, you sold yourself on you. You just believe. The biggest thing that you could do, a gift for yourself, is to believe that you can succeed or that you deserve to succeed. I think a lot of people don't believe that they even deserve that. It's not in the words you're saying, and because that's why I'm so not a script person and I'm a bullet point person, because it's not what you say, it's how you say it. Don't get on the phone if you just had a fight with your spouse. Put on music, go dance around, go for a walk, take a jog, take a 5-minute nap. I don't know what it is that has to get you enthused, but for me, I'll put the ad on, I'll put loud music on, I'll just run around, I mean, whatever. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you want to be up, you want to be high, you want to be in the game, you want to be right there. But you don't want to be, you know, you don't want to don't let it be your excuse either, though. Oh, I'm in a bad mood, so I can't make phone calls. No. You're in a bad mood, great, be in a good mood. Change your mood. You can do that right away. So people are going to be really attracted to your music and your energy. It's a law of attraction. It really is. It's who you are. People want to be around good people. They want to be around fun people. They want to be around people who care about them. They want to be around people who have success. They want to be around people who do good things to others, do good things for the community, do good things for the world. They can feel that. Do you guys understand me? You can feel good energy. You know that. Person comes in the room, they dim it. Person walks in the room, you're like, wow, thank goodness they walked in the room. Right? Are you that person? Are you the dimmer? Or are you the person that lights up the room? Okay, it's sometimes hard to look at, but always, always make sure you have enthusiasm. This is a good one. I love this one. Number 8 is invite in pairs. So what does that mean? You could double the people that you get out to the meeting this week. How do you do that? Ask them. Hey, Mark, I know you probably never make a decision without your spouse, Leslie, so maybe it's a good idea to bring her. Maybe I don't know Mark, and I'll say, hey, Mark, listen, you know, I don't know if you have somebody that's with you in business or a success person or a business partner or a spouse that you might feel more comfortable or have them coming with you to hear the information so that you can have a discussion with them afterwards. Go ahead and bring somebody with you if you'd like to do that. Just let me know because I have a few seats available. I mean, that's a simple thing to do. And I like it because some people are not comfortable coming by themselves. You can tell they're kind of hesitant, but they'll bring somebody with them. They'll bring their spouse, they'll bring their business partner. Oh, I'll bring Joe down the street who does, you know, who's looking for an opportunity too. Or they'll just, so open up that conversation. It's a really way, a big way to increase your guests out. Number 9 is to become a good storyteller. A storyteller testimony of somebody else's testimony. Okay, because people love stories. And everyone has a unique story of how they got involved in Legal Shield. And everybody can relate to somebody in Legal Shield. So you can pull up the profiles of success and look at that and read it to somebody or have them read it. But really, or get the in your own words, which is a lot of membership stories. There's tons of membership stories online. But you've got to get good at telling membership stories. So what I would say is go use your membership so they can be your stories. Or when you market a membership, you have some good stories from your clients. Okay, because people believe stories. They believe documentation beats conversation. Because the facts are boring. If I just stood up there and just told all the facts and I didn't tell any of those stories, it's kind of boring. It's like reading your health insurance policy. It's like, okay, that's boring, right? So learn stories. Okay, and number 10 is to have a workout partner. I call this your accountability partner, your backer, somebody who will back you up.
If I didn't have a workout partner, first of all, if I didn't have a workout partner when I go to the gym, I probably wouldn't even work out anywhere close. When I have my personal trainer compared to me by myself, completely different workout. My workout 30 minutes with her, it's an hour, right? It's really fast. But people might say, you know, I'm having troubles or I'm doing this or whatnot. If you're not having fun in this business, you're not doing it right. You don't have a workout partner. You don't have somebody who's fun, who's going in the same direction, has the same goals as you, and is energized and you know, just excited about where this company is headed and where their financial future could be headed to. It's not a phone call that you call somebody on a daily basis and complain to. It's a phone call. I'll call up, and I'll say, hey, Leslie, it's Kim. How's it going? Listen, did you get your two out today, your two exposures? She said, yeah. As a matter of fact, I just got out at this gas station. I went over to my girlfriend's place I haven't seen in a couple of years and dropped off a DVD. And I'll say, oh, that's fantastic. I did, and I've had a horrible day. I got into a car accident. It was okay. It was just a bumper to bumper. I had to go pick up my child, and it's 9 o'clock at night. I'm on the East Coast. You're on the West Coast, and listen, I just didn't get it done. She's going to say, well, Kim, I'm not going to get off the phone until you get it done. Okay, well, it's 9 o'clock at night, Leslie. I don't know where I'm going to go and get it done. Well, who's some people that you have on your prospecting list? Okay, get out to 7-Eleven. Let's go do something, right? Not the best case scenario. But I'm just saying that she won't let me down, and I won't let her down. That's the purpose of a workout partner. I suggest it not be your spouse. Why? Because your spouse is your workout partner for a lot of other things. Why should it be for Legal Shield? Okay? I'm just suggesting it. Doesn't have to be, but I suggest it big time. It's a give-and-take relationship. Okay, so there's going to be times when Leslie's up and I'm down and I'm down and she's up and that kind of thing. They're quick conversations, anywhere from 2 to 5 minutes, unless we're doing three-way calls or talking about something else that she might be concerned or I might be concerned. But they're not a half-an-hour calls every day. It's a check-in and check-out, check-in and check-out. If it's not working out with Leslie, I got to look in the mirror and say, am I being the best workout partner? Or is there something with Leslie? Maybe we're just not on the same path. She's not riding the same way I am. She's faster. She's slower. Whatever it might be. Get a partner. It's okay to change partners. I've had different workout partners. I've had 2 or 3 at a time. But it's just important that you have one, somebody who has your back when you, every single day, and you have their back. You're accountable to yourself is not going to work. You think, I want to do this business because I need to make money. I need to do this. I need to do that. It's still not enough. I don't know why. We humans are very interesting human beings. Okay, so when you have a workout partner, they can hold you more accountable. I love that word backer. They're my backer, right? They have your back. You have their back. It's great. It's also what I love to do here is call parties. Do you guys do call parties? Call parties are really cool. So I might, you know, go out there and say, Leslie and Mark and, you know, and Lucas, we have a call party. We do it on Mondays because there's nothing else or whatever. Let's say there's nothing. Maybe Sunday's a good day. Let's say we do it Sunday. And we have, you know, just the 4 of us are doing it, but I brought on a new associate and so did Lucas. So we bring our new associate there to come and listen to some of our phone calls. We're just going to do 1 hour phone calls. Not a big deal. So we'll do 1 hour and we all get on the phone. We're kind of in different rooms. Our new associate's listening in on those conversations. Our new associate eventually, after 2 or 3 of them, says, I want to try a phone call now. They feel more confident. It's kind of like having a workout partner, right? So they get on, and you're sitting beside them, and you're cheering them on, and eventually, in that hour, they get 10 phone calls done because they realize how easy it is, and they've seen it, but it's just that synergy. Do you guys get it? It's that team energy and synergy. It really is important. It's vital to your business, and it just makes it fun. How many people work a full-time job besides Legal Shield? Put up your hands. Okay? About half the room, part-time job? You guys got something else? Okay, good. So, is it fun at your work? Do you have fun? Some people do. If you have fun, that's fantastic. Most people don't. You're the only one shaking your head, by the way, by saying yes. What do you do? Are you allowed to tell us? I don't know if I want to know. I mean, I don't know. You just look like you're having fun. I'm wondering what you do. I had a feeling about that. That's how you put your foot in your mouth a few times. Sounds like a fun job. I don't know. Okay, I don't really have an answer to that one. So, that's how, if you want a fun job, go see him, right? If you don't, but anyway, it's funny. That's great. Okay. Everything happens when I do meetings. Okay. So, everybody collect ourselves. Besides doing what he does, we probably don't have fun at what we're doing. So, you got to have fun here. Does that make sense to everybody? You want to have fun, right? I know now we all can't get it out of our minds. The ladies are looking over at you. At 2:30, the show is on. Okay. I'm going to 11. I'm just enjoying the moment. Okay. Be persistent, not pushy. People love, I just went to a networking event that was all about how to follow up. And following up is so important. You should follow up. Okay, that's what we're talking about, being persistent, not pushy. So you should follow up, according to this lady, and she's actually in network marketing, which is funny, is anywhere from 5 to 12 times you should definitely follow up. And in those 5 to 12 times that you follow up, that's when they should sign up, at some point between 5 and 12, for the membership or for the business, or both. Some of us did it earlier, and some of us probably is around that time if you think about every exposure. The first phone call, the link that you saw, the meeting that you went to, the three-way call, and that all can be done in one day. 5 exposures can be done in one day. An exposure is a phone call, sending a link, watching it, getting on a three-way, being at a meeting. That all can be done within 24 to 48 hours. I suggest it be done, a shorter period of time. So be persistent, not pushy. So that means when you make a phone call to a follow-up, right, a follow-up prospect, do me a favor and leave a message. I can't stand people that don't leave messages. We all have call display. They can see that you just called 5 times. That's not professional. I'm telling you. They know. I mean, you look creepy. Right? Guys, you look creepy. If you call a girl 5 times and you don't leave a message, they're going to be like, what is he calling me for? Just leave a message, dude. Delete, you know? Seriously, though, right? Right, I'm serious. Because if you want to be professional, and people who... Okay, the person who just sold me my health insurance policy when I moved to California, he called me. I didn't call him back. He called me. I didn't call him back. He called me. He called me 5 times. I never called him back. I needed health insurance. I want you to get this. I believe in health insurance. I understand that it's a good thing, right? I need it. I didn't call him back, not because I didn't want it. I didn't call him back because I didn't call him back. He kept on calling me back. He finally called me back, and I made an appointment with him. And when that appointment came along, guess what happened? I canceled it. I'm just busy. I wasn't being rude. I was just busy. I didn't feel like meeting with him. I was home for one day, and I was going to leave off. I didn't want him to go. I wanted to not meet with him. He called me again. Made an appointment. I finally met with him. When I met with him, went through everything, then I signed up. So my point is that I didn't think he was being pushy. He was just being persistent. He was being a normal, natural, professional follow-upper. People respect that in business if you do it properly. So don't be pushy. If they say, I'm not interested right now, say, listen, Dave, listen, I understand that you're not interested right now and things change in people's lives. So would you mind if I just kept you informed of some information from time to time? If he says no, fine. You don't want to have him on your list anyways anymore. But I've never had anybody say no. So always have a drip list. Don't be pushy. And be persistent, because I think that's the biggest thing. So those are 11 rules of contacting and inviting. You guys like those?
Yeah.
All right. We got some good time here. I'm going to play a little game with you guys, okay? I've never done this. Just feel like doing it. Okay, inspect what you expect, and then I'm going to get into the leadership skills, but I think this is fun because I want to see what you guys think is income-producing activities. Okay? So you're going to tell me. This is a game that we play together. So income-producing activities, let's just say, because people expect that they want to be a millionaire in this company, they expect to get the ring, they expect to be a platinum, they expect to be an ED, they expect to drive a BMW, but they don't inspect their own activity. You can't have what Dave Hall has, or any of the other leaders here, unless you do what he's done and continues to do. Okay? People will say... about, let's say, Derek Jeter, New York Yankees. They won last night, yeah. Derek Jeter, just an example. He's good-looking, too, and he's a good Yankee. He makes a lot of money. And people will look at him and say, well, if I made his money, then I would do what he does. Wrong philosophy. Do you think Derek Jeter thought that? No. Derek Jeter played baseball since he was probably 2 or 3 years old and has been on the field and is consistent, right? He does it because he's passionate about it. He does it because he loves what he's doing. And that is the reason why he makes what he makes. Make sense? The same reason why Dave Hall does that. Dave Hall does Legal Shield because he has a passion for it. A passion for equal justice under law. A passion for having people be able to dream again, live again, be at home and be a stay-at-home mom and dads and just have a life of luxury. So you've got to do what other people have done. You can't expect to have what they have unless you've done. I know it seems simple, but people miss it. So what do we have to inspect? We've got to inspect what we do. We've got to inspect our numbers. Okay? Because it's not the knowledge of the information that we can't get. I'm giving you some knowledge right now. I'll give you some how-tos. And you're going to be able to get that at your basic training. You're going to be able to get that at your regular trainings and all the phone calls and conference calls and different things. You guys agree with that? It's what's measured that's going to make all the difference. It's our activity that's measured. And I think some people think some income-producing activities and non-income producing activities, it's just really simple. I want you guys to be more activity mode. I want you guys to go out there and say, you know what? I don't want to do two a day. I'm going to do three or four. I'm going to do five a day. Minimum is two. Don't get me wrong. But if you want to go and you want to fly with this company and the massive momentum that's happening, that's going to continue to happen for the next 3 to 5 years. In other words, do what I did in those 9 months for free. Would you have done that? Would you have woken up every day, thought about Legal Shield, not got paid a cent for 9 months, and done meetings and trainings and paid for airfare, paid for trainings, paid for meetings, done all this, gotten in debt to, yeah, because I saw the bigger picture, because I saw the people succeeding. I knew that it was going to happen. So I always concentrate on income-producing activity. So tell me an income-producing activity. Okay, how about two a day? Okay, two a day is an income-producing activity. What else is income-producing? Okay, prospecting calls. Three-way calls. Yeah. Follow-up calls. Sit-down. Sit-down presentations. Private business receptions. What'd you say? Readings. Briefings. Yeah, briefings. Okay. Not necessarily. Okay, this is where we get. This is where we're going to get. So an income-producing activity is definitely going to a meeting. Better if you have a guest. However, what if your team's there? Definitely an income-producing activity. Always better if all of us have guests. But it's still an income-producing activity. It still needs to be part of your ritual every single week. Right? Every week. Every week. Once a week. If you want to go to two, go to two. I did five. Luncheons, briefings, whatever. Because I could. You can't do it, you do what you can, but go to one. How about training? Are they income-producing activities? Yeah. My eyes, they are. Because I am going, right, okay, is this an income-producing activity? It can be, and it should be. Because the information that you get from this, you should be able to use it to get out there. Right? So it is. It is an income-producing activity. Now, it's not an income-producing activity if you constantly just go to meetings and trainings and you never have a team and you never have a guest. Ever. Ever. However, I think that sometimes people have to go through their journey and that's what they need to go through. They might need to go through 2 or 3 years of that. And it's okay. It's more social for them right now. Eventually, when life changes for them or something clicks and they're ready, then we're still here for them. An income-producing activity, networking events. Okay, so prospecting, but networking events. How many people go to networking events on a monthly, weekly basis? Awesome. Not enough of you. If you're not the Legal Shield person in your community, you're not doing a good job. Seriously, you're not an advocate. Your doors are closed. How is anybody in your community supposed to know that you're open for business if you never get out to your community? The best way, you guys, you can go to meetup groups and put networking events. You can go to women's events. You can go to youth events. You can go to single events. You can go to business ones. And these are all business ones, but they're different categories for different people. And you can go to a lot of them. I'm telling you, it's not the only way. It's one of the best ways to get known as the Legal Shield person in your community. I'm known as the LS Lady. I have LSLady.com as my website. And I'm known as the Legal Shield Lady wherever I go. That's just what I do. Why? Because I want people to know when I walk down that street and they see a billboard or they see a commercial or they hear something else or they get into a car accident and they have a legal situation, they think, that Legal Shield lady, what was her name again? Kim. I see her all the time at that. Once a month that we go to the chambers. They're simple things. If you work full time, they have them at 7 in the morning. They have them at 7 at night. They have them all different times. I just think it's a really good thing to go to. Is personal development an income producing activity? Of course it is. But don't do personal development when you're supposed to be at the business briefing. Right? We should be prospecting. So some of these are, but you've got to do them at the right time. What's a non-income producing activity? Facebook. Yeah, we're talking Facebook. Facebook can be when your work is done because you can do social prospecting. Right, you can. So it's not a waste of time, don't get me wrong here, but you've got to get your prospecting done. I'm talking about prospecting, inviting, income-producing activities. The Monday morning leadership call, I think, is a non-income-producing activity because it's Monday morning and most people are at work, trying to get, or they're trying to get to work. If you're trying to get to work, that's okay. But all I'm saying is if that's your only time that you can make phone calls and the leadership call is on, that's recorded. You can listen to it at 10 o'clock at night before you go to bed or during dinner time or whatever. Do you guys get what I'm saying? Again, it's not like it's not important. It's just what's going to produce that income for you that day. That's a call during the day. Most of your calls are during the evening that you have conference calls because those are definitely income-producing activities. Sending links to prospects without calling them. Oh, I'll do my two-a-day. I'll just send out these random links out to anybody. You know, it's called a spam. And if you think that you're prospecting, you are fooling yourself. You're treating it like a hobby, and you're going to pay for it like a hobby. Okay? So those are some not getting a phone number when you're handing out a DVD. Eventually, you'll get sick and tired of it. It's not income producing. How are they ever supposed to call you back? Most of the people never call you back. I think I've had maybe 1% of the people actually call me back. Right? So that's just the way it is. It's a follow-up. Doing one-on-one trainings with people who are not your core. So, you've got 80% of the people, really, or sorry, 20% of the people that produce 80% of the results. And somebody calls you and they say, hey, do you have some time after the Super Saturday? I really want to sit down with you, Dave. I just want to talk to you about, you know, spend half an hour with you talking about blah, 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 blah. And I'm a person that, I'm not even coming to the Super Saturday. No, I can't make the Super Saturday because I'm going to the game. Yeah. what is it called? B-something?
B-Y-U.
B-Y-U. B-something? It was B. It's blue. So I'm going to the game. I'm, you know, I've got season tickets. I can't go. Sorry. But can you meet me afterwards? And I'm somebody who, it's not like I'm a bad person. I produce a couple memberships here and there. No, that's not a good income-producing activity for Dave. He's going to say, listen, we've got a call on Sunday. You can listen to that, or I can spend 5 minutes on the phone with you. I've got 5 minutes between here and here. Or if you want to come to the event around the event, you know, I can spend a little time with you there with everybody. I'm just saying in a group environment, okay, it's a big difference. You guys need to understand that you don't want to spend, because I waste a lot of one-on-one time, and I love everybody. Even if they're not big producers, I love everybody and I treat them the same, but I'm going to treat them. If they don't come and do the activities that they're supposed to succeed, I can't just do it for them individually. I can't sit down with them and spend a half an hour to an hour. I'm going to try to get them to events or to conference calls or spend a little bit of time with them for them to understand it or for them to get involved into the system a little bit better. Okay? Your hobbies, they're non-income producing activities, but I don't want you to quit them. I used to say, just forget about your hobbies, don't do them, right? No, that's where you have a circle of influence. That's where you meet new prospects. But don't go bowling on Tuesday night. That's your financial independence night, or whatever night that you do meetings. Does that make sense? If you go bowling, then go bowling during, I don't know, Saturday afternoon. That's not going to interfere in a Super Saturday ever or do this. That's where you have your social network, okay? So continue to do parties and hobbies and stuff like that, but just don't do them on income-producing nights. That's my whole point here, because a lot of people don't realize that there's a lot of stuff that you're doing that is so not producing. You think it is, and it's not. Okay? So let's talk about leadership skills. You got them up? Yes, please. You guys good? I know it's a lot of training in a short period of time. So we're going to go here for about a half an hour, and then I'll show you a video of Guatemala, and I'll talk a little bit about that. But these are some leadership skills that Steve and I came up with just about, I guess, a couple months ago, probably about 6 months ago. And I think that they're well needed. I think everybody can improve our leadership skills, whether it's leadership in Legal Shield, leadership in our house, leadership with our kids, leadership, you know, anywhere. These are leadership skills that we can use in a lot of places. All right, so it's a revolution. We all want to change the world. This is our logo that we had that we're keeping for next year as well. So excited about that. Love that. If you guys ever want to go to our website, nailingyourfamily.com, check it out. Lots of great stuff on there. So leadership principles. Oh. Successful people are willing to do what unsuccessful people are not willing to do. They're willing to get up on a Saturday morning and sit in a training until 2 o'clock and sacrifice their blue game. Right? Their blue game. And he's going to get, he's like, Cam, it's almost starting right now.
Yeah.
Right? But that's what people do. I'm serious. I mean, Steve, my business partner, never had, and Mike, never had a television until they hit platinum. Hardly watched the Yankees, and if you know them, or if you're any kind of sports fan, or a fan of anything, you know what I'm talking about. Like, a person who's a sports fan is fanatical. They never watched the Yankees. They hardly went to any Yankee games. And then fast forward 14 years later, 13 years later, actually, Steve now goes to 162 games. Every single game of last year, he went to every single Yankee game. He's at the playoffs right now. So he'll be at the game tonight. He was at the playoffs in Baltimore. He was at the playoffs in New York. And I say that because he was, successful people were willing to do what unsuccessful people were not willing to do. He was willing to not have a television. He was willing not to be a Yankee fan. He was willing to do that to eventually being a crazy fanatical fan that was able to go to 162 games. And whatever that means to you, what is it that you would love to do for 162 days and nobody would tell you what to do, how to do it, when to do it, you kept on doing whatever you wanted to do. Whatever that is to you. However crazy you might think Steve is for doing that, there's something that you love just as much that you would do the same. Okay? So successful people are willing to do what unsuccessful people are not. That is kind of sort of like my brother Bob. Now, my brother Bob is not successful. He's in construction, drywall. And now I see him, and now he's in his 40s, 44, 45 years old. He's been doing it since he's 17 years old. He's hurting. He's hurting bad. And I'm a little bit more compassionate for him now. He might be another charity brother, but I'm just being serious. Like, now he's hurting. He's like, man, I got to do something else. So he started to invest in real estate, right? I don't know how well he's doing, but he was doing okay. But there's things that people have to do. He wasn't willing to look at this opportunity, and he still wasn't willing to look at it for what? For his ego, for whatever it is. But he was willing to make fun of somebody. He was not willing to do what successful people are willing to do. Learn to discipline your disappointments. Interesting. This is a hard one for me when I first got started. And ladies, how many of you get so emotional that you cried after phone calls? Am I the only one? Like, really, my best friend? Seriously, you're going to treat me like that? I mean, if she gets a divorce, she doesn't even call me to get the membership? I've been with the company 10 years. I'm like, what do you think I do? It's one thing if I was with the company for 6 months and then I left it or it went under. You know what I'm saying? It hurts. Sometimes it hurts. We have to discipline those disappointments. We have to. So what does that mean? That means, instead of me getting knocked down for a week like I used to and lay on the couch and cry and think, am I in the right company? Am I doing the right thing? Is this really, is this what it's going to be like? Can I be successful? That went from 1 week to 1 day to 1 hour to about 2 or 3 minutes. And it's just something that you got to do. But if you don't understand that everybody's going to go through disappointments, you've got to discipline them. They can't be constant. They can't be knocking you down out of the game for a whole day because you got a couple no's or because somebody said something about your company you didn't like. Okay? How you do anything is how you do everything. This is all duplication. How you recruit, how you get somebody started, how you prospect, how you build your team, how you build your culture, everything. You get up in the morning and you eat horrible, let's say, and you continue to eat horrible, and you keep on doing that. Eventually, it's going to hurt your health. Eventually, that could even hurt your financial bank. I'm just saying, anything that you do is affecting everything that you do. So not just in Legal Shield, but definitely this is what we're talking about here, leadership skills. How you do anything is how you do everything. Do everything 100%. Put everything into it. Don't tote it. Jump right into it. Doing leads to doing, and waiting leads to waiting. That's Steve Melia's big quote. It's true, though, right? I'm telling you, I've done it slow, where I've prospected slowly and like, okay, I'll just prospect like a couple people a week. It's like painful. You do two a day and three a day, and eventually you've got all these leads, and you're just like, man, I can't even catch up with all these leads, and you feel almost guilty for not doing that. It's better feeling guilty for not catching up on leads than having no leads to call. I'd rather your desk look like Brian Carruthers, piled paper up to here. God, I have no idea how he gets, I don't know what how he organizes or what he does, but he's very, very wealthy, and I know that, you know, he just, for him, he's not a waiter. He's not going to sit around and wait for things to happen. Some of you are waiting for this company to make it for you. You think the commercials are going to make it for you? You think the billboards, you think the new logo, the new design, everything's going to work for you? It will if you work for it. Right? That's why I say getting out in your community. If you don't like networking events, then get out and volunteer and do other things, whatever it is. But you can't think that the company is doing something for you. You've got to do something for the company. You've got to get out there and build this faster. Nobody wants a boss. Everybody wants a coach. Who wants somebody like that cheering for them? That's like Dave Hall, right? Woohoo! And when I first got started, when I first made ED, I was a boss. I was like, Kate, we need 5 more sales. You know, hey, listen, 2 more sales over here. Okay, and I wasn't trying to be like that, but I was in it for me more than I was in it for other people. And it wasn't from arrogance. It was from my poverty mentality, my scarcity mentality. I was scared. I wasn't abundant. I wasn't thinking bigger. I wasn't thinking about others. I was, but I wasn't. I was truly, when it came down to it, it was about me. And that is something that's going to devastate you in this business. So if you're like a boss, you're not going to build a good team. It's going to go and down and go and down and go and down, and it's going to be painful. So be a good coach. How do you be a good coach? Learn from a coach. Learn from a great coach like the leaders up on here. Learn from Art Williams. Learn from Jim Rohn. Learn from Brian Tracy. Okay? Be a cheerleader. So one discipline affects the other. That's interesting, right? So every discipline that you do is going to affect the next discipline, which is going to affect the next one. So we have to have disciplines. We've got to be able to be disciplined enough in this business to realize we need personal development, that we need the community of Legal Shield. We need to be disciplined to do 2 a day, right? Because if we don't discipline 2 a day, what's that going to affect? Our pipeline. What's our pipeline going to affect? Our income, eventually, obviously. Like, these are really simple, basic principles, but people don't get that every discipline, if you're not doing the 10 core commitments and you're leaving a couple out, you're not disciplined enough in the business. 10 core commitments is a system that we use. For those of you who don't know, you'll be able to hear more about that at your basic trainings and trainings here locally. It's basically 10 things that we do on a daily, monthly, and weekly basis. Very simple things that everybody can do on a part-time basis. So one discipline affects another, right? You keep on, I don't do my 2-a-day, I don't do my long-distance package, don't have a long-distance team, have, you know, everybody just here in my backyard. That's not a bad thing, but if something happens, like in California, we have an earthquake or something, and I don't have any business anywhere else, that discipline now just affected another discipline, okay? Don't show up to the meeting. My team doesn't show up to the meeting. One discipline is going to affect the next discipline. To be great, study the greats. Who are the greats? There's tons of great people. First of all, you guys have a great leadership. I've hung out with you just only for 24 hours, but the feeling that I get from you, all of you, and an amazing performance club and all your recognition is that you guys have a great sense of community here. You know, Dave Hall is built in with all the other leaders, a really great sense of community, a sense of family here, and that's a blessing. But he's done it because he's studied the great people. He's looked at the people who are in this company who he's been mentored by, and also the Jim Rohns and the Brian Tracys and the Art Williams and the Dave Savulas and the different people. He's studied those greats, and he's continued to study those greats, and that makes him a great coach. So how do you be great? You study. You read 10 pages of a day. You listen to 30 minutes of an audio. Minimum. Right? Minimum. Sometimes it can get rough. I'm sure when you have 10 kids, I mean, I got 2 cats. I mean, that's enough. 10 kids, 6 kids, I'm thinking, what time? What time do your kids get up? What time do you get up? Like, I don't even know. That's a whole different conversation. I'm sure that's an interesting household to be in for a day. I don't know if I want to be in it for a week, but a day, I could probably take it. But, I mean, I'm serious, though, because people say, I don't have any time. Yeah, you do. You get up 10 minutes early to read 10 pages of a day. Or you've got to sneak out, whatever it is. Or maybe it's read time with the whole family. I mean, you make it. You do it. You don't make an excuse not to do it. You make it your room to do it. Okay? Profits are better than wages. I got a shirt like that. He gave me that shirt yesterday. Thank you. Kevin, right? Profits are better than wages. I can't wait to wear that at the gym. It's fun. Anyways, it's a philosophy. These are some philosophies, you know. If you have the philosophy and understanding that profits are better than wages, you're going to go out there and start making some profits because you're sick and tired of making those wages that just pay. Here's the thing. And I'm pretty sure it was Jim Rohn. I'm not sure. So, wages pay your bills. Okay? Your job pays for your bills, pretty much, hopefully. Some of your bills. Profits are for your investment in your retirement and your future. So I'm not saying quit your job. I'm saying your job's paying that and let Legal Shield be your profit. Eventually those profits will become bigger and eventually you can lose those wages if you choose to. But here's a gentleman on our team. Many of you may have heard the story. His name is Chip Humphrey. He's on our team. He's an assistant principal in Vero Beach, Florida. And he's been doing that for many years. He actually started off as a teacher and went and got his MBA his master's degree, and he went up to be an assistant principal because he wanted to make more money. With all that happening, he was introduced to Legal Shield. Now, if you're an assistant principal, you know anything about schools, he works about 60 to 80 hours with all the pep rallies and different things that happen, and he does this very part-time. He earned about $72,000 last year as an assistant principal. And every year for the last 3 years, it's gone down. It was, I think it's 78, and went down to 75, 72. Yeah. As he's been doing that for the last 3 years in Legal Shield, he's made over $100,000 part-time. Profit. Right? He's got time to just do two a day really quick. Right? He doesn't have a lot of time, but he does this part-time. He understands that the wages pays his bills and his mortgage and different things, but his profits are what's going to let him live the life of luxury when he's finished. People say, well, how come he doesn't quit? I think he's close now. But he loves what he does. I think he's getting close. But he wants to really earn $250,000 on a part-time basis. That's what his goal is. I don't know if he'll make it there because the kids are driving him crazy lately, but it's all good. Work with the best and love the rest. I just said that to you guys before. It's the 80-20 rule. I might have 20, you know, the top 20% of people doing 80% of the work, but that doesn't mean I don't love everybody and I don't have everybody. There's people that join this company simply because it's a place where they can feel good, period. It's a social place for them. They don't get it at their family. They don't get it at their job. They don't get it from their other friends or whatnot. It's a social community for them, and that's okay. Because eventually they might change it from being social to be profitable. And if they never do, I don't really care either. But the point is, love them all. Treat them all with respect and love them all. Be a coach, not a boss. I know it seems simple again, but sometimes you get upset at people that aren't working in your organization. You think they've been here for this many years or this long and they haven't done anything. But you know what? It just hasn't been their time. There hasn't been that draw the line in the sand for them. There hasn't been something that says, now I believe I can do it. A lot of the women in here are saying to me, Kim, we were so excited that you're on the executive advisory board. So nice to see a woman on stage. So nice to see that. And I'm proud of it. And I take a big responsibility. I said this when I was in Dallas. It's a huge responsibility. It took me a month to even decide to do this because I knew the responsibilities that I would have after. I don't take it lightly. I jump in 100%. I want to perform the best I can. I know I have a lot of learning to do, but I have a lot of support because I've known a lot of you guys for a long time, and they support me. It's not something, it's intimidating. I'm honest. It was intimidating to be sitting beside Darnell and Brian. Although they've been my friends forever, but it's different when you're sitting beside them and you're discussing issues that you've never really discussed with them and you're making executive decisions. So this isn't something that I take lightly. So women, I don't take it lightly that you're sitting there and not up on here either, because I'm not here for me. It's not why I took the position. I didn't take it to fill my ego. If anything, I took it because of you women. I took it because, and I love that, first of all, the women are the ones who are number one producers, so awesome. Good job. And I'm not, you know, bragging on the women. I'm just saying we need more women in this company who are on stage and representing us. And we have all the abilities, probably more. And why I say more is because we are gossipers. We like to talk. We're networkers, which is gossipers, in a, you know, in a nice way. But we do. We talk. That's what we do. And as a matter of fact, in this business, not in this company yet, but in this business, 80% of the women are the ones that run the network marketing industry. Okay, they are the top producers. You just think of the Amways and the Avons and the Mary Kays, and you just think of all that, right? But they really are. So there's no reason why here inside of Legal Shield that we can't do the same thing here. And that's why I took the position. I took the position to be a role model, to have more women. So when you say to me, it's so nice, I say to you, I can't wait till you're on stage to tell your story. I can't wait till you are joining me on the executive advisory board or whatever that looks like to you. So I don't stand here just to say, look at me, yaha, I've arrived. As a matter of fact, no, I take more of a responsibility to make sure that you guys come up on stage, to make sure that you're on the big stage, not just here locally, but your voice is heard all over the place to help women all over this company to succeed faster and better and make more money and better decisions. So join me up on stage for more stuff. And the only way that we can do that is to prove it, guys, ladies, I should say, right? So people say, why are there so many men on stage? Because they've done the business. Because they deserve it. They're not going to put a woman on stage if she hasn't really done much. Does that make sense? If you're a spouse that's just sitting down with your spouse doing the business on the sideline, come to the front line. If he's good at recruiting and you're good at sales, match that together. Or whatever your strength is. And if that's even what you want to do. Some people don't want to be that supportive. They want to be a supportive. It doesn't matter. All I'm saying is there's no reason why women up are on stage. It's the only reason is because we haven't produced and we don't have the stories that they want to hear yet. So we're here. I'm here to be that voice to say, I have arrived. I'm here to let you know that I've gone through those. That's why I tell that story at the beginning. I want you to know I'm just like you, and I'm continuing to be like you. I still have my brother who's a charity case. I still have he's not my reason why brother anymore because we're just hanging out together and stuff like that. But you know what I mean? I try to be a little bit more relatable. So let's talk about this one. I love this one. Mike and Steve taught me this. Mike and Steve have to be the most generous people I've ever met in my entire life. I used to always go and say to them, I see them always paying for extra bills and this and that and just stuff. And I'd say, I mean, guys, you're never going to get paid back. You always pay for everything for everybody all the time. This was like years ago. And they taught me this principle. Do more than you get paid for, and soon you'll get paid for more than you do. And I'm not saying go and buy everybody meals. I'm just saying I had that scarcity mentality. I wasn't thinking abundantly. I was thinking when at my job at the bank, I was like, well, when they pay me more, I'll do more, right? When they give me a better position, I'll perform better. No, that's totally opposite than what we need to do. But that's really what 80% of the people think like. I want you to think completely different. Because when we're going down the highway to our business briefings, other people are going home from work. We do opposite what other people do. At 9 o'clock in the morning, when they're getting up and going to work, we're still probably sleeping or having coffee with our kids and getting them to school, making our first phone call. Okay, so do more than you get paid for, and then eventually you'll get paid for more than what you do. That's amazing. How do I go out there and earn the income that I do today and not even work close to what I used to work when I first got started? Does it make sense? I'm doing different things, because some people say, well, what do you do now? No, I'll tell you what I did then. I still prospect now, don't get me wrong. I'm still in the performance club every month, have been ever since, right? But understanding this, so what does this mean? Showing up to the briefing early, asking if they need help. Understanding that you have to, you know, invest in money to go to Oklahoma City in March or April, right? Understanding that investing, I mean, if I didn't understand this principle and listen to my leaders, I would have not been standing here today because I spent 9 months, so many months, not making any money and investing money into this business because I believed in this philosophy when I heard about it. I was like, no, don't listen to your brother Bob. He's in my head. Da, 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 da. Here she goes again. She's spending money on this. She's going here. She can't even afford it. She's paying one credit card off with another credit card. I know what that's like. You can only do it for a short period of time. Sucks, but anyway, at least it's out there. Do you guys get what I'm saying here? So this is probably my favorite tip here. If you plan to fail, you failed. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. if I were, you know, I got in the car with my mom and we got a little U-Haul from Wilmington, North Carolina a couple months ago and drove out to San Diego. And if we didn't have our navigation system, I don't know where we would have gone. Okay, first of all, when somebody tells me to turn right, I always turn left. When somebody says south, I have no idea where south is. Right now, I have no idea. I do know right and left, but I don't know south, north, and east from here at all. Just, I think most ladies are like that. I won't speak for everybody, but for me. So we need to have a navigation system. Here's the deal. Is you have a goal. Your 30-day goal, 60-day goal, 90-day goal, year goal, whatever. You work backwards from that. Say you have a 30-day goal. You work backwards. You say, okay, what do I need to do in a week to get that goal in a month? What do I need to do in a day to get that goal in a month? What do I need to do on an hourly or on a daily basis to do that? And you'll plan, your plan is going to always change a little bit. Just like our navigation system, we went off and veered off a little bit over here. It came back and said, okay, well, you rewrite it over here. It's okay if your plan isn't the same plan, but just have some sort of plan. Okay, have something that you go, okay, I can see off over there. Okay? Leaders have big goals, and they inspire others to dream big. Pretty simple. I think if you look at most of the posts that Dave Hall puts out there, they're all lifestyle posts. So he's building a lifestyle. He's showing off a lifestyle, not just his, but other people that come into town and different things like that, right? So he shows off a lifestyle so he can show other people the dream. I suggest you stop asking people on Facebook if they want to join Legal Shield. Build the lifestyle. We are building. Here's what we're doing. We are going out there and giving hope and opportunity to people. I don't recruit and I don't prospect. I give hope and opportunity. I'm totally serious here, guys. It's such a big change and shifting when you're recruiting. You really give people that hope and opportunity. So I want to show people to dream big, and that's why I'm going to show you a video of the Orphans Hope Project, because the words that I say compared to the picture that it's going to prove and show you, and I show you this again not to brag or anything, and I'm going to, you know, tell some great success stories about it, but I want you to see that it's possible for you. I don't know what that is for you, what charity, what motivates you, what you want to give back to, what you want to do in your life, all those things, I'm not really sure, but here's what I'm sure about, is if I show you a little glimpse of what it looks like for me and my family and a lot of our associates, that it might just make a difference in your life. It might just get that light bulb to go off and say, I never thought that was possible, but hey, I'm going to bring back that goal once more. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to let Legal Shield do that, be able to do it. Because some people say, I'm not a money person. I don't want to make all this money. Money's not important. Right? And I'm serious. They say that. And it's like, okay, come on. Don't make me feel like I'm materialistic, and I can be at times. I got nice clothes, drive a nice car. You know what I mean? But the point is, that's not it. What are you going to do with the money? What is the money going to do that's going to make you feel good besides those material things? Okay? So inspire others. I'll tell you a little story about the Orphans Hope Project because we're almost done here, and I'll put that on right after this. So we basically have been donating to different charities for about 10 years. We've raised over $200,000 for different charities in 10 years, which is great. It's all done through our Legal Shield family and beyond. So it's the Amelia family, the Legal Shield, then it went to the Legal Shield family, and now it's gone on to their friends, family, and neighbors. It's the ripple effect, the compounding effect that's happened. It's amazing of the different stories. So we had raised money for the Boys and Girls Club, the Make-A-Wish Foundation, for also a gentleman in Legal Shield that had cancer to try to help him survive. Unfortunately, he passed, but he has left a passive income of $20,000 a month to his wife, his widowed wife, that still continues to come in. So that's amazing. So we decided that we wanted to, we've always wanted to help youth and always wanted kids to be able to have and feel a self-worth and have a good self-image so that they can believe and they can go out there and do something in their life. We found ourselves in Guatemala, and people say, why Guatemala? I say, because our hearts have no borders. They have no boundaries. It doesn't really matter where the money goes. We're all humans. And Mike happened to be on a plane. This gentleman, airline stewardess, was wearing pulseras, which were bracelets. And he said, what is that? He said, these are bracelets I support an orphanage in Guatemala. So he said, tell me more about it. Showed him a video. Mike watches the video, says, I got to get Kim Steve to watch this. We watch it months later. We go visit the boys' orphanage in Guatemala to make sure it's legitimate. The point is the money goes directly to the kids. There's nobody in between that gets any of the money. All money that's ever raised through us goes directly to that orphanage. Every single penny, which is inspiring. Yeah. So So we went there. Steve and I went there. My niece and my nephew. So Mike's daughter, Danny went with us, and she videoed the whole thing. And she made a video from our first trip. That was the video that helped us raise $72,000 to build a girls' orphanage in 90 days, which was amazing. Yeah. And so with that being said, we've raised enough money for a van. The girls' orphanage is almost being built. We raised the money like almost 2 years ago. It's still not built yet because it's Guatemala time. It's a lot different than here. But it should be built. I'm going out in 2 weeks to see how the progression has and to see when we're having our grand opening, which is extremely exciting. And I hope, you know, anybody who wants to come to this, is an orphanage that is all of our orphanage, and anybody can come and help and support and whatever that you might have, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a dentist, whether you're good at music or good at sewing or good at whatever, good at English, you can come and support this orphanage. I do welcome you all to do that. So I say that to say that the video that I'm going to show you, I want you to look at it because it's just a bunch of pictures of my six trips there. I've been able to go with my mother, my business partners, my niece, my assistant, a lot of associates and different things. So I've been able to spread that love and joy and just share that with other people. I know Dave Hall understands this very much because he's done a lot of work for orphanages all over the world. And so So I want you to look at the faces of the kids because they've been battered, abused, and saddened and don't have anything close to what we have. And sometimes we think we don't have that much and we're not grateful. These kids are so grateful for just having a hug, for just having somebody show up with an iPhone that they could use. And they don't even know what technology much is, but it's funny. But I want you to look at our faces too. Because it's been a blessing for myself and my family, but it's been, I feel like sometimes it's more of a blessing for me than it is for the kids. And people say, you're doing so good for these youths. And I say, I understand. I do understand. And that is great. But what it's done for me internally and how it's been able to be really the ripple effect beyond this company and to go out there, it's amazing. Because I hear about, you know, somebody's little kid that just went to the lemonade stand and donated it to, you know, the Boys and Girls Club locally, and they've done this over here and they've done that. I want you to see this for yourself. I don't know what it is that you want Legal Shield to provide for you, what your reasons are, but I want you to look at it and just enjoy it and think, what is it that I'm here? What is the song inside of me that needs to be sung? What is the talent that God has given me that I need to reveal to the world? Because a lot of you are hiding it. There is one talent that each one of you and a song in each one of you that you have to give this world, to give this Legal Shield family, but beyond that. And most of us will go to our grave without singing it. And I don't want that to happen to you. Because if it wasn't for this company, it wasn't for the belief in the company, we need to persevere, this orphanage that we're building wouldn't even exist. And there wouldn't be little girls who are going to be safe in this orphanage. Does that make sense to everybody? So I want you to think bigger when you watch the video. The last thing is, if you can't change the people around you, then change the people around you. What does that mean? It means you need to disassociate, or you need to limit your associations, or get new associations, or all of the above. Now, if your spouse is not somebody who's supportive, there could be a couple things here. Because so sometimes, my spouse is not supportive. Well, you haven't made any money in Legal Shield, and you've been in 2 years, and you're spending all the money. No wonder why he or she is not supportive. Go out there and draw a line in the sand and bring some money home to prove to them that you're doing something. Does that make sense? Because that's number one. I mean, it really is. Number two is, if you are bringing home money and they still don't believe in you, then, hey, I don't really know what to say. Maybe marriage counseling or something like that. But you need to add some more associations in there then so you can be successful. Does that make sense? You want to add more people. Like for me, how do I add associations when I didn't have a lot? I was 25 years old. I added in Jim Rohn, Brian Tracy, those people. Those are my five close associations. Have five people that are the closest to you. They don't have to be physically close to you. They could be people that you listen to on the phone. It could be a Mr. Darnell stuff. It could be something like that. And then you have to limit your associations with some people. You can't limit your association all the time with your spouse, but you could some of your association with some of your best friends and some of the people that are closest to you that, you know what, you can spend 5 minutes with somebody, and some people you can spend 5 hours with, and some of these people you can make 5 days with, and some people you can spend 5 seconds with. Know who they are, right? And just seriously, know who they are and know where you go to go, because your associations here is everything. To help you succeed, it's not just your workout partner, it's everybody that believes in you. Because if you don't have people that believe in you at that house, they believe in you here, I promise you. All right, time will either promote you or expose you. I think we've seen that a lot. And I think it's a great thing. There's not much really to say about this except for, hey, listen. If you're consistent and persistent, first of all, you're going to be exposed to being a great associate. If you're somebody that complains and you're not a person that people don't want to be around, you're probably not going to build a big team. Some people say, it's really hard to build a team or this or that. And I have to first of all say to them, are you doing everything to attract the right team? Have you looked at yourself in the mirror? Have you been doing personal development, stuff like that? But time will either promote your exposure, I promise you that. And you're either part of the building crew or the wrecking crew. So, what does that mean? You either come into this meeting or come into the events and stuff with a great attitude, or you're coming in to destruct something, to take it apart. And there are those types of people out there, right? You want to be part of this building crew right now in Legal Shield. You want to be part of this building crew because if you just ride on the coattails of what's happening with MidOcean and all the stuff that's going on, you will be very excited in the next 3 to 5 years. It just takes 3 to 5 years for you to be massively successful, whatever that means to you. All right, that's it. So we're pretty much good on time. So what we're going to do is we're going to show the video. Yeah. So again, I kind of went through the video a little bit early and explained what it's all about, but I hope you guys got everything that you wanted today and maybe a little bit more. I have to rush right out of here after the video, so I won't see you guys. I'll see you, where will I see you? In Oklahoma in April. If you do want to be Facebook friends with me, please put a little note. Hey, met you in Salt Lake City, da 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 da. I try to actually have my Facebook friends be my friends. You know what I'm saying? I'd love for you guys to be able to enjoy the journey and we can become better friends and get to know each other through Facebook or whatever it might be. But most of all, I really do thank you guys. Thank you so much for being present, for being here. I can tell you're very attentive and you're listening very, very well here. All I can say to you is that if I can do it, you can do it. Let that song come out. Let your talent be heard. Let that song be heard. Enjoy the video and God bless. Have a great rest of your day.
The generations, and to say we want to make it a better place for our children and our children's children so that they know it's a better world for them and think they can make it a better place.
There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love.
It doesn't matter how you arrive at these boys, they just want to feel special and feel love. So join Kimmelia on the next Work Play Love trip and make the decision so that you can share your unconditional love to all of these beautiful and wonderful children. Regardless of their circumstances, every day these boys find time to smile and find play in the simplest of activities.
Keep playing, we circle by the soul.
these boys have musical and artistic talent flowing through their veins, and they're not afraid to share it with their world. We can learn a lot by shining our light as bright as these children do. To clothing lines. We'll never take for granted washing and drying our clothes by the press of a button. We are truly, truly blessed. All your efforts through the Amelia Family Foundation. We're finally building the girls' orphanage. We've delivered one van, and hopefully with another van soon to be on its way. This year, one of the big fundraisers is selling the Work, Play, Love recipe cookbook. Hopefully you can participate, but if not that, what? What can you do this year, whether it's a garage sale or bake sale, to have more funds for these beautiful souls that deserve our everlasting love? With your help, we can make a revolution in these children's lives.
Right back up real quick. And Miss Amelia does need to run to the airport very, very quickly. Have y'all enjoyed having her out here today? We went and took her around to see a few of the places in Utah yesterday, but it was really cloudy. So we only got to see a few of the places. Now it's sunny and clear again today. So we got you a coffee table book for your new home there in San Diego. And we passed it around a little bit so that people could put some of their sentiments in the book to thank you for the time that you've come out here. And I found out yesterday she's never, ever even shot a gun. Can you believe that? But she would like to. So we're going to get her back out here again in the summertime and take her out and blow some things up, white trash style. All right? So... thank you very, very much. All right, let's let her go, you guys. Give her a hand. I got it. All right, you guys ready to find out? Well, a lot of you already know who's coming next month. It's hard to keep that a secret, you guys. What? Amazing, amazing event to have, you know, someone of Miss Amelia's stature here in this state and to, you know, see how generous, you know, she is, not with just her money and the orphanage and stuff like that, but her time. I mean, honestly, raise your hand if Miss Amelia is your upline somewhere. That's what I'm talking about. She has no financial reason to be here. She has a huge organization all over the United States, and Utah is just not one of those places that she has a large organization. And here in the state of Utah, not only this year we've had Steve Melia come out, we've had Mike Melia come out, now Kim Melia come out. None of them have any financial reason to be here. They just do it out of the generosity of their time. And that's the caliber of leadership that we have here in Legal Shield. And, you know, she mentioned some of the charities that they have done work with, you know, Boys and Girls Club and Make-A-Wish Foundation, and even an associate that was battling pancreatic cancer, and the cost to keep him alive for the last few months was about $40,000 a month, and he's not on their team. And they just jumped in and started doing fundraisers to raise money for David Stecky, and some of us that have been around a little while still remember David Stecky and just what an incredible guy he was. In fact, we were here in the state of Utah, we were one of the last Super Saturdays that he ever did. He was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer the month after he did our Super Saturday here, and they said you probably have about 6 months to live, and he lived almost exactly 6 months. And, but the last few months that he was alive, it was real expensive. And even though the Melias weren't on his team, they were out raising $20,000, $30,000 a month to keep him alive and stuff like that for the very, very expensive treatments that they were doing to try to save his life. But the cool story is Dave Stecky built an organization that still today, as she mentioned, spends about $20,000 a month in residual income. His wife, a widow's girl. I don't know what it is. Let's turn this off. Let me just go to. We got this. All right. But his wife Sherelle and his daughter that was in ASU at the time, I don't know where she's at today, he left them a residual income of $20,000 a month. And here it is. It's been about 9 or so years since Dave Stecky passed away. And can you imagine 9 years after you pass away, your family, your spouse, your kids, grandkids and stuff are still enjoying a very comfortable lifestyle because you went out and worked. Dave Stecky only worked this business for about 5 years. 5 years. Built an organization that has left his family a legacy to be able to go out there and do incredible things, and that Sherelle doesn't have to worry about going back to work or anything else like that. And keep in mind, they did that back before there was any branding, before there was any MidOcean. They did that back when it was all paper applications, no internet, any of that kind of stuff. And so, you know, what's going to happen over the next 5-10 years is what really gets me excited in this business. The last 10 years have been great, but it's the next 5 years that really keep me up at night thinking about what's going to happen with this new leadership, the new mentoring, the branding, the advertising, and everything else coming out and stuff. And we have another first in the state of Utah. Mark your calendars, November 10th, we have the new CEO of Legal Shield, Mr. Rip Mason. Woo! Coming here to do our event. And I don't know about you guys, man, but this 4 new recruits where they'll pay for your airfare and your hotel and everything else like that to go to convention, I'm jacked up about that. The fact that, you know, they'll not only pay for you to get there, but, you know, your event ticket, but your airfare and your hotel. I don't know of any other company out there that is throwing down this kind of money. I mean, we're talking well over $1,000 in incentive money for doing what we should be doing anyway, which is out there sharing this incredible membership and business opportunity with other people. But on top of that, you go out there and do that kind of activity. The byproduct of that is you're driving a new BMW in a few months. Another byproduct of that activity is you're going to Cancun with us, all expenses paid on those vacations, where they pay for everything, hotel, airfare, food, activities, everything that you do for a week in Mexico. Last year it was Hawaii. Who knows where it's going to be in 2014, but they pick exotic resorts. The thing about it is all of those are even byproducts on top of the money that you get. But what if one of those people that you shared this with was Camellia? Could you imagine if you had a $500,000 income earner in one of your legs in this business. You know, you realize that somebody somewhere had to just show it to Miss Melia. And then the byproduct of that has been an incredible organization all over America. It's fun to get the cars. It's fun to get the trips. It's fun to get all those things. Here's what's a lot more fun. Knowing that you have money out of the way in life. If you want to, like in 2 weeks, she's taken off back to Guatemala. If you want to just go work with the orphans in Guatemala for a few weeks, just to fill back up your emotional gas tank, you can do it. If you want to travel the world, if you want to do something good for a church here, if you want to do something just good for homeless people or whatever you want, you know, the holiday seasons are coming up. The byproduct of working hard for a little bit is all those nice things, but it's that when you go to bed at night and you just know, you know what? Heaven forbid, if something happened to me tomorrow, my family is taken care of. And what will they be saying 10 years from now? What do you think David Stecky's, you know, wife and his daughter say about, man, I'm so glad that my dad got involved with that company, worked hard for a few years. Now, one thing I know about David Stecky at the event stand in California, he was out in the parking lot before the events, flagging down cars and recruiting people to come in and see the information. That's how energetic he was. I'm serious. I mean, that guy was just constantly getting guests out to the event. Every time I went to California, that guy had a ton of guests. And that's why he did what a lot of people will take 15, 20 years to do, and he did it in 5 years. Maybe God gave him a little secret tip that said, hey, look, you ain't got 20 years to build this. You got five. And he did. He went out and built an incredible, incredible legacy in a few years. I don't know how many years each and every one of us have, but wouldn't that be a tragedy to find out that we checked out and we hadn't done anything with the talents that God gave us? These children in Guatemala, they don't have an opportunity to go make $1 million in the next few years. There's no huge business opportunities being offered to them. We have that. Now, the question is, what are we going to do with that talent that has just been offered to us? Are we going to hide it under a bushel? Are we going to bury it in the backyard? Are we going to actually go out and multiply it? Are you coming back next month by yourself? Because that's the same as hiding your talent. Are you coming back next month with more people on your team here? Are you going to come back and fill up a whole row, fill up a whole section so that you can, again, have these incredible things that are right at your fingertips, right in front of you, in front of every single person here? You can get a ticket to Mr. Rip Mason here for next month, $20, back at the table today. I'd strongly encourage you. We only have enough tickets for what the fire code is going to allow us to have in this room. But Rip Mason, first time he's ever been here, you're going to get on like about a 10-year waiting list to get Mr. Mason here. I'd strongly encourage you, if you plan on having more people on your team between now and then, plan for it today, because once the tickets are gone, the tickets are gone. And I don't want you to say, oh man, I did. I actually went out and recruited four people this month, Dave, and I'm sorry I can't get your four people into the event. But maybe 10 years from now when he comes back, we could get him into the event. But we're not going to be able to let him into this event. If you want, you can pick up five tickets for the price of four today. We're not going to be running any other specials this month or anything else like that for Mr. Mason, because Mr. Mason's going to sell this thing out 10 times over. For those of you that want to have your team inside the building when he gets here, I'd strongly encourage you to get five for the price of four. But by all means, do not leave this event without your ticket guaranteeing your spot, because this will sell out and they will be gone and we'll have to turn people away. So November 10th, mark it down on your calendar. Tickets are available in the back for the next few minutes, and we'll see you all next week at the events. Everybody have a great week.